Shalom ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, Kaf Ches Benisan, Parashas Kedoshim, Tavshinayin Vav, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 5 May 2016, webcasting from Born Again, State of Israel, on this National Holocaust Remembrance Day. One of four, actually. For Jews, there are at least three different dates for remembering the 6 million, depending on your religio-philosophical outlook. Today is the day chosen by the State of Israel. For those here who do not respect the State of Israel any more than they have to, Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, the day the temples were destroyed, now includes remembering the Holocaust. Others, one supposes, choose to respect the UN-proclaimed International Holocaust Day, January 25, which has turned into a day to remember the Holocaust of the Jews along with the suffering of other victims of prejudice, and they are legion. So, for the last 24 hours here, it's been National Holocaust and Bravery Remembrance Day, the official title, for Israelis. A day just for the victims had to be balanced by remembering those who fought back. This means many back-to-back ceremonial gatherings here and there, and speeches by politicians and generals. And one of them, the Deputy Chief of Staff, Yair Golan, spoke a couple of sentences in his remarks that elicited howls of protest and discomfort. At one point, he suggested a parallel between what he called political processes in Germany pre-World War II and Israel today. At least what he said, there was, quote, evidence of that here among us, close quote. Howling in protest was a Jewish home minister, Naftali Bennett, and Likud ministress Ayelet Shaked, and M.K. Bezalel Smotrich from Bennett's party. It was the talk of the town in Israel today. Here is what he said in my translation, quote, if there is something that frightens me in remembering the Holocaust, it's identifying processes that make one tremble that happened in Europe in general and Germany in particular 70, 80, 90 years ago and finding evidence of them here among us in 2016. It is easier to hate the stranger. There's nothing easier and simpler than arousing anxieties and driving fears. There's nothing easier and simpler than acting beastly, self-righteous. It's worthy and even necessary on Holocaust Day for it to be a day for national reflection. And in that national self-searching, we must include ugly and disturbing phenomena, close quote. Translation for this career IDF officer, Holocaust and Heroism Day must be a day for Jews to examine their own sins against the stranger, in addition to remembering the Jewish victims last century. And I say no, it's a day for Jews to not beat their own chests, but to remember the injustices that have been visited upon us by our mortal enemies. It's a day to meditate on the power of Jewishness, capable of bringing civilization to ruin. It's a power of Jewishness to create civilization via Christianity and Islam, benefiting the whole world. It's like atomic energy. Its power is immense, Jewishness is, but like atomic energy, if it's not contained properly, it can wreak unspeakable destruction. They say 50 or 60 million people lost their lives in World War II. In other words, besides the Jewish 6 million, 52 other million people died. And surely even more than that survived, wounded, and suffering. The destruction was immense. The power of Jew hatred, which was the nuclear core of Hitler's brain, was the driving force of that calamity, the likes of which man had never known. Jew hatred is that powerful. And the State of Israel has never done, but should, is use this day to teach the world that insane Jew hatred is not only a Jewish problem, it's the world's problem. Every time the world gets crazy, we Jews may be the primary victims, but are never the only ones. In Europe, especially, Holocaust remembrance should be a major national event. For our Holocaust was for them also years in hell. For their own sake, they must ponder the Holocaust and think about what it was all about. And what caused a minor uproar here yesterday were these remarks of this career IDF general, who I assume to be a non-practicing Jew, which has been the case among IDF officers since the first day of the state and the Army's existence. In other words, I found little surprising in his remarks. In his community, his post-Jewish community, it's forbidden to interpret anti-Semitism in a religious fashion. It was all politics, and Israelis like these have believed that in similar circumstances to those found in Germany in the 1920s and 30s, any people would act the way the Germans did, including Jews. Golan's views call to mind that infamous moment in 1999, I think, when Ehud Barak said if that he were an Arab youth, he too would be a terrorist. In this day and age, non-religious liberals and leftists like these cringe at the thought that one side, their own side, may be superior to the enemy. Nationalism is a terrible thing, they think, and should be done away with in exchange for the international brotherhood of, I know, the proletariat, as the communists said. That transcends all national boundaries. All nations are of equal worth, and in the conflict between one's own people and a neighboring people, one's own people are the guilty party. Ehud Barak was sending a message then to his people that he did not think Israel had a greater right to Eretz Yisrael than the Palestinians. Patriotism for such types is indifferent, is the same as chauvinism and even racism. And here was the deputy chief of staff, Yair Golan, sending his message that we Jews are potentially no better than German Nazis. And there's evidence of that, he said, among us. In other words, lurking beneath the surface here is the Jews as Nazis accusations. For sure, Golan did not go that far, but it did allow for the possibility that there were such types among us. Is this the message he wants to send on this day? He seemed to be saying, we Jews have to watch out for becoming Nazis ourselves in our relation to the Palestinians, which name I'm sure Yair Golan uses unthinkingly about these Arabs and these Muslims. Israelis have never understood how every time they talk of Palestinians, they reinforce the notion that there is such a nation which then must have national rights to the land that the Zionist pioneers said was rightly the homeland of the Jewish people. In 1897, year of the first Zionist conference convened by Viennese journalist and playwright Theodor Herzl, there was no such jurisdiction in existence under Muslim rule. The Muslims, the Turks, had no image in their brains of the outline of a country called Palestine. Look at the maps that they drew up, and you find no Palestine. But never mind all that. This latest verbal flap, I find not the first time an IDF officer has talked this way. This has been the culture of the IDF officer corps since the beginning. They all came from the collective, the kibbutzim, and the moshavim, the collective villages. They all grew up, without being aware of it, in ghettos of Jews only, all sharing a common political ideology. They had little contact with others and were taught that the Jews themselves were responsible for their persecution, for harboring and behaving in ways that other people did not like. Zionism for this community was only half about returning to the ancient homeland. The other half was about changing the Jews into a new and better, no longer religious nation. No more of this chosen people stuff and superstitions about foods you can't eat. Zionism was about a revolution in Jewish identity, away from the Jewish religious community it had been, to a modern secular non-religious people, just like all other peoples. The thought that Jews could, under the right circumstances, behave like Germans is not of this world. Only someone so alienated from the Jewish people as Yair Golan appears to be could say and think this. Leftists in general chronically take the side of the enemy against their own people. They claim the enemy is the victim of their own people. So you go on an apology tour if you believe that. And so the Israeli officer corps has a leftist culture insensate to Jewishness. In a way, some in this off when you meet them as Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. For their role models in life are the celebrities of the global village they see on the internet and on television. By contrast, Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday gave another excellent speech. But before that, some music. להושיבי עם נדיבים
מי כהשם אלוקינו המגביל השבת המשפילי לראות בשמיים ובארץ מקימי מהעבר דל מהשפות ירים אביון בואי להושיע Nai nai na nai na nai ta na nai nai na nai ta na nai 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 ta nai 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 ti nai nai na nai na na nai ta na nai nai na nai toi ta na nai na nai Hashem Elokeinu Hamagbihil Hashavet Hamashpili Lirot Hoy Bashamayim Uvaaretz Hoy Mekimi Aspot Yari Mevion Hoy Lehoshivim Im Nedivim Im Nedivei Amor Tiri Nai 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 nai
So yesterday evening at Yad Vashem, the Prime Minister said some things that I say. Quote, what paved the way for the Holocaust, what greased the wheels of the Nazi murder machine, he asked. The answer is the lie. Nazi propaganda described the Jews as the source of evil in the world, the poisoners of wells, parasites, enemies of humanity. Incitement preceded annihilation, close quote. And that sounds even better in the original Hebrew. Indeed, anti-Semitism is lying about Jews, I say. That was Nazi propaganda, and that is anti-Israeli propaganda in our time, whose biggest lie is the Palestinians and their alleged national rights here. The Prime Minister went on, quote, today, millions of people in the Muslim world read and hear horrible falsehoods about the Jewish people. They tell them that the Jews are the descendants of monkeys and pigs. They say Jews drink the blood of their enemies in goblets. The vilification of the Jewish state has taken the place of vilifying the Jew. Anti-Semitism did not die with Hitler in his bunker in Berlin. Close quote. He also took note of anti-Semites abroad, quote, British MPs, senior officials in Sweden, public opinion makers in France. I must say that anti-Semitism in our day is creating odd combinations. The elites who allegedly represent human progress joining up with the worst barbarians on earth, those who chop off heads, persecute women, destroy cultural treasures, close quote. What's so important here is the Prime Minister's fingering anti-Semitism as the principal culprit and the recognition that it did not die with Hitler in his bunker. Last webcast I said I saw a bright side to the current welling up of anti-Semitism, for it might shine some light on this infection of the spirit, this sickness of the soul. It really is, I believe, a mental disorder. for stirring up delusions about Jews, allegedly thinking evil thoughts and plotting and doing evil deeds when there's no reality to any of this. In every generation, Jews are believed to be evildoers when they never are. Versus the IDF officer type who thinks his own people are showing evidence of Nazi-like thinking. What he presumably had in mind was the outcry in the last couple of weeks at the IDF for putting a soldier on trial for manslaughter in Hebron 2 months ago. IDF types like him are very sensitive to what the Gentiles think of us and are determined to prove that we are not racist, fascist, imperialist oppressors of the poor, poor ancient Palestinians. They have very little understanding that the roots of the criticism have anti-Semitic sources that thrive in soil fertilized with lies. Its roots have nothing to do with what Israelis actually do or do not do. Our enemies hate the very existence of Jews because our existence diminishes them. They envy Jewish success and invent fairy tales to support the view that Jews are crooks and that's how they get rich and Jews are racist imperialists who stole Palestine as a base for their plans of world conquest. Which brings me back to today's Holocaust Remembrance Day, when all the Israeli TV stations either go dark or show only Holocaust documentaries or feature films. And in all candor, because of the surfacing of old-fashioned anti-Semitism in England and the endless lies from Arab mouths, the day has greater work. That this day today has greater weight than in past years, it seems. For the better part of the last 8 years, we've watched that Muslim communist in the Oval Office side with the Iranians against us, also the U.S., too. And he wants to let them have an atomic bomb when they've been quite open about their desire to drop even a small one on us, God forbid. And this communist red and Islamic green villain there still could do something terrible to Israel. The power of Jew hatred was on display at its fullest during World War II. It was the demented engine that inflamed not just the Austrians and the Germans, but millions of others in the countries Germany overran who joined in the hunt for Jews to kill them. The guilt for the Holocaust goes far beyond just Germans. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, the fuel of the Holocaust was homicidal Jew hatred that has never ended. It burns every time our enemies say bad things about us, and hardly a day passes without some attempt here to murder a Jew. Early on Tuesday of this week, a 60-year-old man leaving the old city was stabbed multiple times and had to be rushed to hospital. And yesterday, Hamas attacked more times out of Gaza in one day than at any time since the missile war of 2014, when the three boys were kidnapped and murdered. They fired mortars at soldiers along the barrier, working to discover their murder tunnels. 2 years ago, the barbarians there enjoyed some success, popping up on our side of the barrier to shoot at soldiers and civilians. So the state has spent hundreds of millions of shekels in the R&D working on the problem. And because the work is now bearing fruit, Israel is reportedly on the way to, already has found a way to discover and destroy these tunnels. So Hamas is very unhappy. According to military analysts here, the Iron Dome went a long way to neutralizing their high-trajectory rockets, which bothered them greatly. And now Israeli engineers have invented a way to end their tunnel threat. And speaking of technical prowess, it's thought that the old city of Jerusalem is today so sprinkled with security cameras, the police were able to find the stabber the other night before the night was out, who turned out to be another 18-year-old clone of Ishmael. But I'm still waiting for the day when the government of Israel reconfigures its public diplomacy and rebrands our mortal enemies here, like this would-be teenage Jew killer, with the Arab young men now inside Europe and terrorizing its people, in particular its women. In all the European cities and communities, this tidal wave of refugees has penetrated. Crime rates have skyrocketed, in particular sexual ones. And thanks to this, as Giulio Miotti reported yesterday on the Gatestone site, in France, the military on active duty is now stationed half inside the country, and apparently more in the role of security guards than soldiers, half of them detailed to defending the country's 17 Jewish schools. And I imagine that many Jewish schools in England and Germany, Denmark and Belgium are also now guarded by soldiers in addition to what barbed wire enclosed fortress-like structures. This is thanks to Islam, which is as much at war with Western civilization today as it ever was. And now one of its fronts is Israel. And it would benefit Israel greatly to finally put a stop to this nonsense about a Palestinian national movement victimized by Israel. The clash here has always been religious because, as we have seen recently in Syria and Iraq and Yemen and Libya, the Arabs remain more tribal than national. Nationalism means transcending tribal lines and even geographical boundaries. It's a large group identity the Arabs have never mastered, and along with it is their hatred for the greatest and most long-lived nation in the world, the Jewish nation. Thank you. Let's conclude with some good news, shall we? On Monday, the Israeli business newspaper, The Marker, reported that yet another television ad featuring international supermodel Israeli Bar Rafaeli, known a few years back for fornicating with Hollywood actor Leonardo DiCaprio, has been banned, this ad, for being, well, I think you can see it on the internet, pornographic. The explosion of pornography over the last half century in Western civilization, this koshering of pornography, has matched and been part of the collapse of morality in general between the sexes. It has been one of the markers of the collapse of Western culture in general. The death of religion among too many Christians and Jews in the West, the killing of scores of millions of human babies in the womb, the throwing of holy water on sodomy, fornication, and that's sex outside of holy matrimony. 2 years ago, this woman who went of army age in Israel faked a marriage to beat the draft, also had an ad partly censored for similar sexual vulgarity and eroticism. This collapse of propriety has never been a healthy sign for Western society, for its culture and civilization. But I guess we deserve it, and now are facing the prospect next year of the U.S. Being led either by a corrupt witch of a lying woman or a vulgar reality TV star, sleazeloid king of bling. Okay, that's it for this week, and I'll be back, God willing, on Sunday. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Eretz Yisrael.